presenting Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower, CX-4 calling control tower, standing by.
Control tower, back to CX-4, wind southeast, ceiling 1,200, all clear.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan, coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves, coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, until last week, we thought the new jet fighters had a corner on the speed market. Now it turns out that the Air Force's new four-engine jet bomber is capable of fighter plane speeds. On its first long-distance flight from Muroc Airfield in California to Tinker Army Air Base at Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the XB-46 averaged 507 miles an hour, making the trip in 2 hours and 15 minutes. That's just 5 minutes under the official record time over the distance now held by a single-seater Navy jet. Well, that's some going for a bomber. And talking about America's new planes brings me to the subject of pilots, the men who will fly these jets. The Air Force is making sure there'll be enough trained flyers in service to man these new ships. Come next summer, there'll be a flock of new officers in the Air Force. Pilot training plans have been announced that will increase the number of new second lieutenants from the present 1,000 a year rate to more than 3,000 per year. By the middle of next year, there will be over 400,000 men in the Air Force, or enough to man 55 air groups. To meet the new quotas, methods of signing up flyers have been streamlined. Prospective aviation cadets now can take preliminary tests at any of the 55 major Air Force bases throughout the country. The drive is on for a new and big crop of pilots, and you can be sure they'll have the best training in the world. I'll be back in just a few minutes, gang, with more up-to-date news from around the air paths. So don't forget to listen. And now to our story. Returning to Lakeville at the height of a raging snowstorm, Hop and Tank narrowly escaped a disastrous crash with a transient plane, but managed a successful landing in the snow. They were greeted by Gail Nolan, who informed them that Aunt Agatha and young Christopher Cross were in Lakeville, attending a party in celebration of the arrival of a new bell for the town hall steeple. Shortly before midnight, however, Aunt Agatha phoned, her voice trembling with apprehension.
Chris is gone. He left the party 3 hours ago to get some air, and he hasn't come back.
Without wasting a second, Hop and Tank left Gail to stand by the phone, jumped into their Jeep, and roared over the snowclogged road to the house.
This is murder. We get this town all at once. Jeep will be lucky.
Only a couple more blocks. I should make it.
Hey, what do you think could have happened to Chris?
You got me. Man, I got a plenty worried. You looked for him? Didn't say. How far can you look in this storm? You suppose he's lost? In the middle of town? Hardly.
Oh, maybe he went to a friend's house
without telling Aunt Agatha.
Oh, you know how kids are.
Oh, no, Chris.
Well, doggone it, he must have done something.
At the town hall.
Hey, big crowds out front. You see Aunt Agatha?
Pilot tank.
Hey, there they are.
Hello, Pop.
Did you hear what happened?
Where's my aunt, Miss Purdy?
Inside.
Any word about Chris?
Yes, they found him.
What? Is he all right?
Well, no, he was hurt.
Oh, gosh, come on, Pop. Excuse us, please. Let us through here.
Up there in the first room on the right.
Thanks. Go ahead, Tank. The first door on the right, over there. Pop, oh, Mr. Purdy said Chris was hurt. Don't get excited. Wait till we see him. In here,
that's what happened, honest.
Chris.
Oh, Hawk,
you okay,
I'm
kid?
So glad you called.
What in the world happened? Yeah, what kid?
Oh, gosh, terrible. It wasn't accident, honest. Yeah, I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Well, wait a minute. One at a time,
yeah,
please.
Let's get organized here.
What? Oh, hello, Mr. Miller.
Hello, Hop. Glad you're here. Maybe now we can get a straight story out of this kid.
Mr. Miller, you may be caretaker of the town hall. This may be your responsibility. But that gives you no right to say such terrible things.
All I know is what I see, Miss Snap.
For Pete's sake, what's it all about?
Yes, what happened to you, Chris?
Well, the party was kind of dull.
Why, Chris?
Oh, I'm sorry, Aunt Agatha, but I wasn't having any fun at all. And it was snowing, so I thought it would be nice to go out and walk around in the snow.
Sorry, you just took a walk?
Yes. I wasn't going anyplace special, and I just happened to walk around to the back of the town hall.
Just happened.
Mr. Miller, I resent your attitude.
Let's let Chris finish, please. Go on, Chris. You went around back?
Yes, and then I saw a ladder propped up against the side of the building. Reached right up into the window of the second floor.
Oh?
The window was open, too.
So what did you do?
Well, the snow was blowing in, you see, so I'd have decided to climb up and close the window.
Mr. Miller.
Go on, Chris.
Well, I went up the ladder, and I couldn't close the window from the outside. So I climbed in, and then it happened.
What happened, for Pete's sake?
Well, I guess I was hit on the head and I saw stars. Honest, I did.
Something, Jenny.
Pop, look at his head. There's a lump as big as a goose egg. Oh, you poor boy.
Poor boy, nothing.
All right, Mr. Miller. Suppose you give us your story.
I ain't got no story. That boy was up to mischief, that's all.
You call a bump on the head mischief.
And I get the please.
He was up to mischief, I said. He put the ladder there himself and went snooping around on the second floor looking for some kind of trouble to get into.
What about the lump on his head?
Well, he just got more than he bargained for. He must fell.
I see. And you found Chris up there?
No, Mr. Purdy did.
How come?
Well, he saw the ladder in the open window and investigated.
Well, just where did he find Chris?
Well, I don't recollect exactly.
I do. Poor Chris was lying on the floor next to the window. That's what happened, honest, Tom.
Poppycock.
Well, Mr. Miller, what do you want to do about it?
How?
He ain't going to do nothing. Wait a minute. Now, Mr. Miller?
Should lock him up for illegal entry. That's what I should do. Teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
Pop, I didn't do anything wrong.
Are you going to, Mr. Miller?
Well, no, I guess not. Seeing as he's a good friend of yours. But if I ever catch him snooping around again...
You won't, I assure you. How about it, Chris? Feel well enough to go home now?
Oh, sure.
You don't look too hot.
My head does hurt a little.
We'll put an ice bag on it as soon as we get home. Take down the swelling.
Come on, I'll carry you out to the jeep.
Oh, no, I can walk. I'm okay.
You sure?
Yeah, Pop is here.
Okay, let's go. Good night, Mr. Miller.
Good night, Pop.
I'm sorry you don't believe me, Mr. Miller, but I'm not lying. Honest, I'm not. I never told a lie in my life.
Well, just don't let it happen again. That's all.
Come on, Chris.
Good night, Tank. Miss Snap.
Good night, Mr. Miller.
Dried up old prune face. Felt like pulling his nose for him.
Pop, you should have been more stern with Mr. Miller.
Pop, you believe me, don't you?
Oh, of course, Chris. Where's the legal car, Aunt Agatha?
Around to the side.
Well, Chris, suppose you ride with Aunt Agatha. You'll be warmer and more comfortable.
Oh, I'd rather...
Go on, Chris. Hop's the boss. Follow orders.
Okay.
Yes. Still storming. Tank, why don't you drive that car?
Oh, fiddle, Hop. I'll be all right. No sense in your riding back alone. I certainly won't sit in that little puddle, Jumper. Especially on a night like this.
Well, then let's get going.
I'll follow you, Hop.
All right.
Come on, Chris.
I'll see you later.
Sure thing. Well, brush the snow off the feet and pile in, thanks.
Uh-huh. What do you think, Hop?
Think?
About what? Chris's story.
I believe it. Don't you?
Sure, but, you know, there's something awful funny about it. Why should anybody slug a kid and end up on the second floor of town hall of all places?
I wish I knew, Tank. I sure wish I knew.
Climbing into the jeep, Pop and Tank are both quiet, bewildered by this strange attack on young Chris. What does it mean? Gang, there's a startling new development ahead, so stand by. Fellas and girls, here's a story of a pilot who thought of a new way to make money and at the same time help out the thousands of pilots flying the airways. You know, flying is a highly technical business. And just for that reason, a United Airlines pilot, Captain L. Ray Jefferson, is in the publishing business. But what he prints is so specialized that only a few thousand persons have ever read his works. His publishing business started back in 1930 when Jefferson wondered if other pilots wouldn't be interested in facts and figures about landing conditions at airports throughout the country. He decided they would, and began jotting down notes as he piloted mainliner flights across the country. Soon other pilots learned of his project and began asking him for copies of his notes, and in turn passed along information to him. Well, in no time at all, the requests became so numerous that he began issuing an Airways manual. It's a brown-covered loose-leaf book containing thin pages packed with important data. Each series of pages contains a description of a complete route, plus standard takeoff and landing procedures for each field. All routes in this country are included. That's counting the 200,000 miles of them that are equipped with aids for modern instrument flying. Prominent landmarks along every route and around every field are noted, as well as landing procedures to be followed in case an airport is socked in. Right now, Captain Jefferson of United Airlines has 10,000 subscribers to his service. 3,000 are individuals, and the rest are airlines and aviation groups. His latest plan is to issue a similar manual, especially for private flyers. You know, fellas and girls, there'll be a place for you in America's future aviation picture. So get ready now. For always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. It is late the following morning. The violent snowstorm of the previous night has abated. And from their room, Pop and Tank see the airport covered by a glittering white blanket. Going downstairs, they greet Aunt Agatha, who is in the kitchen. Tank's comment is typical.
Set it up, Aunt Agatha. Half a dozen eggs, a pile of bacon, and a stack of toast.
Tank, you haven't changed one bit.
How's Chris?
Much better. He wanted to come down, but I thought it best for him to stay in bed today.
We'll look in on him later. Say, what time is it anyhow? My watch stopped.
The kitchen clock is wrong. That's because it went off during the night.
We can get the time over the radio. Now, come on, Aunt Agatha. Russell up them eggs, huh? I'm starving.
Hunger certainly hasn't improved your grammar, any.
Leaving the entire state covered with an average of 4 inches of snow.
Yeah, we've got a news report.
And here's an item from Lakeville.
Lakeville?
As you've probably heard, the town of Lakeville received a bell from Czechoslovakia in thanks for their contribution of food.
You're getting some free publicity.
Installed and rung for the first time last night. It had a beautiful tone, but something seems to have happened to it overnight.
What's that?
The bell was rung again this morning at the usual time, 8 o'clock. But now it has a different sound, an extremely discordant tone.
Mr. Miller,
the town hall caretaker, can offer no explanation. To this observer, it would appear that the thanks from Czechoslovakia are rather hollow. And now, an item from you.
Hey, what happened, Aunt Agatha? Isn't the bell any good?
Of course it's good. It's perfect.
Not according to what he just said.
Well, we'll find out about that right now.
Hey, where are you going? I want breakfast.
Your breakfast can wait. I want to talk to Mr. Miller.
Hurrying out of the kitchen, Aunt Agatha storms down the hall to the phone, and a moment later is in violent argument with the caretaker of the town hall.
But you must have done something to it.
I didn't, Miss Knapp. Honest, I didn't. I rang it this morning just like I did last night.
Well, ring it again and let me hear it.
Now? But it isn't time yet.
I don't care what time it is. Let me hear it.
Now. All right. Just a minute.
Hop.
Yes, Aunt Agatha.
Open the front door. I want to hear that bell.
Wow, sure must be loud.
The sound carries very far, Terry.
Door's open.
Now listen. It'll start in a second.
Oh, my gosh. Sounds very peculiar.
Can you hear it, Miss Snap?
I certainly do.
Well, that's the way it was this morning. I don't understand it.
I don't either. I'll be down to see you later, Mr. Miller.
But, Miss Snap, I didn't do anything.
I'll see you later. That little pipsqueak. Hop, close the door.
What are you going to do about it?
I don't know, but I'll do something.
How about my breakfast first?
Oh, dear.
I'll get it. Hello. Yeah, speaking. Oh, put him on. Tank, it's John Temple.
John Temple?
Yes, from the FBI.
What's he want with us?
Hello? Hello, John. Oh, fine, thanks. And you? Good. The bell.
Did he say bell?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know too much about it. Well, sure, we'll be here all day. All right, we'll expect you then. So.
Huh, was he talking about our bell?
Yes, and he wants to see us about it. He said it was something very important.
So Hoff is faced with another mystery. Why is the FBI interested in the Lakeville Bell? Gang, John Temple will have a very strange story to relate, and you won't want to miss a word of it. So tune in and fly with Hoff Halligan, America's Face of the Airways. So long, Hoff. We'll be seeing you same time. Same mutual station. Hoff Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.